The Princess with the Horns. A man who had three sons was dying. He called his sons to him and said, "I need a lawyer."
"Oh, but father," they protested, "you have nothing to give away. Why do you need a lawyer?"
Nonetheless, he insisted, and they sent for a lawyer. The lawyer took down his will. It was this: "To my first son, I give the first brick beside the fireplace. To my second son, I give the second brick. And to my third son, I give the third brick." After he died, the boys sold his house and all his possessions to pay his debts. There was nothing left. They walked out into the world, penniless. The first son walked a long ways. He began to get hungry. He begged for food. He begged for work. He found none. He was starving. His clothes became rags. Finally, he thought of the only thing he had left, that brick beside the fireplace, and he decided to go back for it. When he got to his father's old house, the people who owned it did not want him to take the brick. They even offered him money for it, but that made him even more adamant. And with chisels and saws, they cut the brick out from the fireplace. He took the brick, and behind it, he found an old black purse. Nothing in it. He took that too, and he walked away. As soon as he got out of sight of the house, he sat down. He looked at the brick. "This is almost worth nothing." And he looked at the purse, and he said, This would be worth a penny if it had a penny in it." He felt the purse change. And when he looked inside, there was a bright, shiny penny. "Huh," he said, "where did that come from? Let me try that again. This purse would be worth something if it had a dollar in it." He felt a change. And when he looked inside, there was a bright, shiny silver dollar. "Oh," he said, "there's magic here." And soon he was richer than you can imagine. He had anything he wanted. All he had to do was ask the purse for the money. He set himself up in a big house in the city, right across the street from the king's palace. He walked into his new house, marveled at all his new furnishings, up to his bedroom, and out onto his balcony, which faced the king's palace. Sitting on the balcony opposite him was the king's daughter, the princess. He said hello. She said hello back, and they began conversing. After a while, she invited him to come for dinner, which he did. When he got there, she offered him a glass of wine, which he drank. Then he drank another. Before dinner, he had another glass, and with dinner, he had several glasses of wine. And by the time dinner was over, he was very talkative and a little bit drunk. "Now, tell me," said the princess, "where did you get all your wealth?" "Ah, there's nothing to it," he said. "All I have to do is ask this purse for money, and it fills up." "Oh," said the princess, pretending to be indifferent. A little while later, the man fell asleep, and the princess changed his purse for one that looked just like it. Then she had her servants throw him out in the gutter for a drunkard. The next morning, people came to the man's house to ask for money that he owed them. He asked the purse for the money, and there was none. He was worried. He put the creditors off for a little while, but they came back, and more came, and his servants needed to be paid, and soon the man lost everything. He was back in rags and tatters, begging for food on the street. And he thought of his second brother. He said, "I wonder what's become of him." And so he inquired and soon found where his second brother lived, in a large estate in the country, with lands and chattel and all sorts of things around him. He went to the house and knocked on the door, and his second brother was overjoyed to see him. And they sat and they swapped stories. The second brother had done the same as the first brother. He'd gone out in the world to try his fortune and had no luck. When he was penniless and starving, he thought of his brick, and he went back to get it. The people at the house were not happy to see him, especially since they had just repaired the fireplace from the first brick. But he insisted, and with chisels and saws, they cut that brick out. Behind it, he found an old black cloak, the kind a beggar might wear, and he took that with him. As soon as he was out of sight of the house, he put the cloak on and noticed that he became invisible. He could not even see himself. Aha, he thought, this will be useful. The next day he went into a bank, and after closing, he took all the money, put it in his pockets, became invisible again, and in the morning he walked out. No one saw him. He could have anything he wished, and he did. He took it all and set himself up in the beautiful house in the country. Oh, said the first son, that is an interesting story, and that cloak would be most useful to me to get my purse back. May I borrow it? Oh, sure, said the second son. I won't need any money for a month or two. And so the first son took the cloak and went out into the world robbing and stealing wherever he could. Soon he had enough money to buy his house back and set himself up as he had before, right across from the princess. He walked out onto his balcony, and there she was. It was as if she had been waiting for him. They began to converse, and she invited him to dinner. He went. She gave him a glass of wine. He drank, and another glass, which he also drank, and with dinner he had several more glasses of wine, and by the end of dinner he was quite talkative. And, where did you get your newfound wealth? Said the princess. Oh, said the young man, it was easy. You see, I have this cloak that makes me invisible. Here it is. I'll show you. He put it on and disappeared, and then he took it off again, laughing. Oh, said the princess, that's interesting. Well, in the middle of the night, when he was sound asleep in the princess's living room, she switched that cloak for one that looked just like it, and had her servants throw him out for a drunkard. In the morning, he put on the cloak and snuck back into the princess's house. He was creeping along the wall when the servants saw him and began to beat him and beat him and threw him out again. He tried and tried to become invisible and steal things, but he kept getting in trouble. And soon he was back out on the streets with nothing, nothing at all. As you may guess, he thought of his third brother and went to find him. His third brother had set himself up in a beautiful house with servants, animals, anything he wanted. The third brother was overjoyed to see his first brother. It had been a long time, and they sat down to tell each other stories. The third brother's story was this. He had gone for a ways and found little to eat and less work to perform. And soon he was starving and in rags and thought of their father's house and the brick beside the fireplace. He decided to turn back for it, and when he got there, the people were not happy to see him. They slammed the door in his face, but he insisted that he take his brick, and with chisels and saws, they cut it out of the fireplace. Behind it, he found a little bugle, a small horn that didn't look like it even worked, but he took it with him. When he had gone away from the house, he put the horn to his lips, and with the first note that he blew, a great army appeared, led by a general, who bowed down low before him and said, I am at your command. Immediately, the third son sent the army to plunder the nearest village. They pillaged and plundered and brought all the loot back to him. He blew the trumpet again, and the army disappeared. The first son said, "Can I borrow that horn for a little while? I need it to get my purse back." "Why, certainly, I have enough money to last me for a while. I won't need to send my army out." And so the third son took the bugle. He played it when he was near a village, and the army went and got all the money he would ever need. And yes, he went back and bought that house again, set himself up with finer furniture than ever before, beautiful clothes, and he walked up to his balcony, stepped out on it, and there was the princess. It was as if she had been waiting for him. They began conversing, and soon she invited him to dinner. He went. He drank, and he drank some more, and soon he was quite talkative, and the princess asked him once more, "Now, what is the source of your wealth?" "Oh, it is this little horn. All I have to do is blow on it, and an army appears. They are at my command." "Oh," said the princess, pretending indifference. Soon the man fell asleep. The princess changed the horn for one that looked just like it, and had her servants throw him out in the gutter for a drunkard. In the morning they found him blowing his horn with nothing happening. Soon he was a beggar again, thrown out in the streets with nothing. This time he was a real failure. He had no more brothers to go to. I don't know what to do. I guess I might as well end it all," he said. And so he climbed to the highest cliff he could find and jumped off. But even at this, he was a failure. For about halfway down the cliff, there was a fig tree jutting out, and he landed in the branches of that tree. He was bruised and cut, but he was very much alive. Now this fig tree was covered with black figs, and he said to himself, "Well, since I'm here, I might as well fill up. Figs are good, you know." And he began to eat them. After he'd eaten 6 or 7 figs, he looked at himself. There were horns, exactly the number of horns, as he had eaten figs. "Oh," he said, "now I'm awful, I'm horrible. I might as well finish the job." So he climbed to the top of the tree and flung himself out over the cliff again. This time, he landed in another fig tree, and this fig tree was covered all over with white figs. "Well," he said, "I am here. I may as well eat some figs." And he did. For every white fig that he ate, one of the horns disappeared, and his skin was smoother than a baby's. "Oh," he said. This gave him an idea. He very carefully climbed out of the white fig tree and back up to the tree with the black figs. He picked a whole basketful and climbed back up the cliff. He disguised himself as a beggar and walked into the village where the princess lived. Right under her balcony, he began to hawk his wares. "Figs for sale! Figs for sale!" Now the princess was greedy, and she bought the whole basket. Soon there was heard wails and moaning coming out of the palace. Servants were sent for doctors. The princess and some of the servants, and the king and queen even, had come down with a horrible disease. They had horns growing out of them. The princess was said to be a veritable forest of horns. But the doctors could do nothing. For every horn they cut off, 2 more grew. They gave up. The young man waited a while, and then he carefully climbed down to the white fig tree and picked a basket full of white figs. He disguised himself as a doctor and walked into town. He went to the king. "I can cure your daughter," he said. "Oh? But what will you give me?" "I will give you 1/4 of my kingdom." "Make it half."
That is good. He went into the princess's chamber. She had horns everywhere. He gave her a white fig, which she ate greedily, and one of her horns disappeared. Her skin was smoother than it had been when she was a baby. "Oh," she said, "give me another fig." He said, "Not until you return to me what is mine." "You?" she said. "I don't think I've seen you before." He took off his disguise. "Oh, it's you," she said. "How nice to see you." The man said, "I want my purse back." She said, "Oh, that old thing? Why, sure, here it is." He tested the purse to make sure it was his, and it was, and so he gave her another fig. Another horn disappeared. "Give me more," she said. "Well, not until you give me back the cloak." "Cloak? Oh, that old thing," she said. "Why, certainly." And she gave him the cloak. He tested it to see if it made him invisible, and it did. And so he gave her another fig. Another horn disappeared. "Give me more," she said. "Well," he said, "you know what else I want back." "Oh, what could that be?" said the girl. "My bugle," said the young man. "Oh, that old thing," she said. "Here it is." He gave it a quick blow, and the army appeared. He blew again to make them disappear. And then he gave her another fig. He gave her all the figs she needed to get rid of all the horns she had. And her skin was very smooth, nicer than before. He also gave the figs to the king and the queen and all the servants who had horns, and they were all cured and quite grateful to him. The king was happy to give him half of his kingdom. But the princess did not seem very content. You see, the man had several things that she wanted. And so she called him aside and asked him if he would marry her. He, fool that he was, said yes.